Coming in hot today. Hot as fire.
That's still one of the greatest riffs of all time.
We call that dirty. That's what we call that.
Man, dude. Alice in Chains still does it for me, man. That's one of those bands I think that always will. I don't think I'll ever put in Alice in Chains and be sorry that I did.
I will say, they never get old.
They never get old.
Get old.
Yo, that's great.
I love the fact that we can parlay a good song into a podcast topic.
That's because music is life. We say that all the time, but it's true. It's true. I can find a song.
Could it be that we are pro?
Yeah.
No, I doubt that. I'll tell you what, though. Today, man, I am on a coffee high right now.
I hear you. You sound like you've had too much.
Yeah, I have OD'd on coffee.
You could probably
bust out a podcast. Yeah, I'm going to bust out a podcast real quick, go to the airport, and I'll be in Miami tonight. So I'm excited. How about you? What do you got going on? What's happening?
Well, not as much as you, that's for sure. But I've actually got a bunch of work going on at my house right now. I got
You're sipping some Sanka at the moment.
Sanka. Coffee. Got to get the intimates. Those muffins, those over there, those are for you people. Don't touch the intimates in the Sanka.
The old Sebastian Maniscalco.
Maniscalco.
We got to get him on the podcast. He has a podcast, too. You
hey,
showed
check
me.
Check this out.
And it was great.
Here you go. And we die
and
young.
It.
Alice in Chains. What a great title for a podcast.
Yeah.
What do you
or,
think?
I think getting older should be the title.
Right. That's
should
probably
be the title.
Better.
The goal is not to die young. The goal is to die very old. So
you know what's funny? I mean, you know, as quick as you say that.
Which was quick because I'm on a coffee buzz.
Yeah. But as quick, I think back to you and me in the band, what we would consider our prime at that point in our life anyway. 21, 22, we were working out every day. We were laying out by the pool every day. We were, it's funny. We thought because we were working out, laying by the pool, we were taking care of our bodies, but then we were destroying ourselves every night. So
vodka and Taco Bell, we'll do it.
It was kind of counterintuitive, but back in those days, I couldn't see myself at 40, right? When I was 20, I couldn't see myself at 40. I thought I would be dead by then. I really did. And it's because, the song we just listened to, We Die Young, Alice in Chains, that came out right around the time whenever, around that time period, 20, 21 years old.
You hear that song, you're like, hey, that's what we're supposed to do.
Well, I mean, that was the rock and roll lifestyle. I mean, all my heroes were dead, right? When you think about, my idols growing up, it was Jimi Hendrix and Janis Joplin and Jim Morrison and, then Randy Rhodes and, John Bonham, like all of my heroes were dead already. They had all died before they turned 27. And it's, when you think about that, you think, well, yeah, that's just kind of how it's going to be. We're going to live fast, die young. That was Motley Crue's motto, right? Look at those guys.
Mick is still kicking.
Mick Mars. He's going to outlive Keith Richards.
Yeah. I think Keith Richards is going to outlive everybody. Like, he's going to be he's going to be the first guy in rock to make it past 100.
He's probably
name one guy in the rock music world that has lived to be past 100. Don't worry, I'll wait.
I mean, Neil Young has looked like he's 100 for the last 40 years.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But I mean, I think Keith Richards' blood type is nuclear. You know what I mean? Like,
yes. He's still doing it, man. It's unbelievable.
It's crazy. But, you know, but Mick Mars still hanging on, dude. Still, I mean, they prop him up and he just goes.
Yeah. They got like one of those little carts, you know, like those little dollies, you know, that used to move like refrigerators. Yeah, they roll and stuff.
Him out. He stands there and plays. And
you remember in Silence of the Lambs where they had Hannibal Lecter, he was strapped to that little thing. That's how they do Mick.
they roll him out there.
They strap him on that. Here's Mick, everybody. And he doesn't move around anymore. He just, his fingers move. And then they wheel him off stage and
stick
him under the bus and go to the next city.
I didn't realize back then how old he was already, you know, like in the Motley Crue. Like when he joined Motley Crue, he was already 30.
That's me in every band I've ever been in. I've always been the old guy.
The old man. Yeah. But when he joined Motley Crue, like in 1981, he was already 30 years old. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And like, poor I mean, guy. Like Tommy was 17. So he was like almost twice Tommy's age.
He calling dad.
I mean,
where's the set list, dad? Let's write some songs, dad.
I mean, you know, Mick was 13 years older than Tommy. That's crazy talk, man.
Yeah. But they made it work.
But they made it work. And you know what? And as fast and hard as they lived, they didn't die young. They're all still alive and kicking. And I think there's something to be said for that, especially since you and I are getting older. We were just talking about my gray hair here. And, you know,
highlights, as you call it.
Yeah, it's natural highlights, man. I mean, for all the time that I spent dyeing my hair in the 80s and 90s, you know, now it just does it on its own. It just grows in like that, you know. And you shave it in like a mohawk and everybody thinks it's cool. But
So that's kind of what we're talking about today. In case you didn't know, or in case when you looked up the podcast, you didn't see the title, it's called Getting Older.
Getting older.
Most of the time people think they associate bad things with getting older. You know, like you get wrinkles, you get slower, you know, your knees hurt, your back hurts, you start having these aches and pains, you know, you don't feel like a spring chicken anymore. And those are things that, you know, rightfully so, people can look at and attribute to something negative as far as getting older goes. But what about the advantages? Now, you and I sat and talked about some advantages of getting older. And I want to talk about those, but I guess to kind of kick this off, you and I have been friends with some people that, speaking of back in the day, that we've ran with, they've recently passed. And I say recently as in soon as a couple of weeks ago and as early as last year.
Well, I had another funeral here, from a member at our church that just died, this past Monday. You know, he died last week, and that's why we actually couldn't do the podcast last week, because I got busy with that. You know, being a preacher, they expect you to show up for that kind of stuff. And so,
yeah. So Thomas in my office, he had a friend of their family pass away as a young guy. He's 15.
Sister-in-law's boyfriend passed away a month ago.
Yeah. He was supposed to go with me on my trip today, but can't go because he's got to officiate over the funeral.
Yeah.
Everybody quit dying. Stop it.
Dude, I mean, I've had enough. This old man that died that we had went to the funeral for Monday a year ago or a year and 3 months ago, he died in our church building. He was sitting there before services started.
Is he a vampire? How do you die twice?
Well, my son-in-law saved his life. I mean, but his heart stopped beating. His heart was not beating for 3.5 minutes. And my son-in-law Ryan is a hero. He brought him back to life.
Oh, you told me about that. That guy.
Yeah. We have a couple of guys who are nurses at our church, and one of those happens to be my son-in-law. And he and two others, revived this man. I mean, he died in the church building. They brought him back, and he got another 15 months before he just passed this last week. You know, and I wonder
how did he die? I mean, if you don't mind me asking, I mean,
well, so
I'm guessing there were no nurses around this time, huh?
No, well, he actually died in the hospital. He was, didn't realize it, but he had severe cancer like down in his pelvis and, didn't know it until like recently and had started getting chemo for that, but had gotten really weak because of the chemo. He fell, broke his hip, and went to the emergency room and he died. In the emergency room, he was just old, man. You know, and your body just gives out. I mean, you know, he was, you know, 82 years old. And so, I just, but I think about, man, you want the thing that I thought about all week and at his funeral too, is that he got 15 more months, right? He died and he came back and he got 15 more months. You know, and I think about, I mean, how his perspective was after he was revived, you know, a year and a half ago. And I wonder how he viewed every day, that every time he looked at his wife, you know, he looked at her, maybe not like he had looked at her in a long time, and that every conversation was special, and that every moment that he got after that, because it was all a gift, right? I mean, his life had ended and he got another chance. He got 15 more months. What a gift. You know what I mean? And I can't help but think that his perspective was probably the same.
Let's talk about, you know, Motley Crue, right? So Nikki Sixx died.
Yep.
And came back. Yep. How do you think that changed his life? Well, because I know now, I mean, he's clean and sober. He takes care of himself. I saw a picture of him on Instagram the other day where he says, back to the gym. He's looking buff, man. I mean, he's in the gym. He's working out. He moved away from L.A. He lives out in Wyoming now with his wife and his kids to get out of that whole riffraff. I mean, he flies back into the den of sin there to do Motley Crue work and music work. But his life has changed dramatically because of that experience.
Absolutely.
And I wonder how, I mean, some, you know, it shouldn't take that for people to realize what they have and be grateful and treat every day like it's a gift. And so that's one of the great things about getting older. And we'll talk about five things. And, you know, there, I think I've kind of narrowed it down to about five different things or five different reasons to be grateful for getting older. The first and most obvious is, well, hold on, you're still
you
here.
Before you get into that, I do want to acknowledge that you had said that, you know, we've lost some guys, and, you know, and most recently the one that we both knew was Derek Townsend. And, you know, Derek was, he was a close family friend of my family, my brother and my mom, but also of you and I, the band. He and John McDerris were kind of like a package deal, and we lost both them this year.
Last time I saw Derek was at John's funeral.
I know. And it just, you know, Derek's 52 and, you know, John was what, 49?
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, dude,
I'm complaining about being 50.
And I'm 48 this year. You know what I mean? And I see it all the time. People, you know, there's another guy that I went to high school with earlier, you know, that died this year. It's like it's getting real. You know what I mean? That's the one thing about getting older, is that death becomes a reality. When I was 20, death wasn't a reality to me. That's what I was talking about. I couldn't see myself at 40 because I just, you know, you're young and you're bulletproof and all that stuff. But now I think about it all the time, you know, and people around me, people that I know are no longer here. You know, it's like in this moment, you're here, and in the very next one, you're not. And that's a sobering moment. So to go on with your point, the gift of being older or getting older is that you're still here.
Yeah, that's the number one advantage to getting older, is that you get another day. You know, I mean, I, you know, and we've talked about this many times on this podcast, man. It's gratitude. It's not what you don't have, but I mean, I'm telling you, every single day that I wake up, my first thing that goes through my head is, thank you, Lord, for another day.
Yeah,
I get one more day. I may not get two. I may not get 20. I may not get 5 years, but I got today. I'm going to do my best to make it count. I'm going to look at the people around me. I'm going to enjoy their voice. I'm going to enjoy their company. I'll enjoy their phone calls. And I think if you go through life, it really just boils down to gratitude. You know, I know we've had a podcast on gratitude. If you haven't heard it, go back and listen to it. It's a good one, but it really is, man. It's like every day is a gift. And if you treat it that way and you're grateful, I think you'll get more out of it. But that absolutely, when I was trying to think of the advantages of getting older, and actually there are many disadvantages, as we have talked about here leading up to this. Death is one of them. Gray hair, you know, flabby flap your booty, you know, all that, you know, you have to take more medications, but you know, if it's not necessarily what happens to you, but it's how you frame it. And if the number one thing that you're grateful for when you wake up in the morning is that you're still here and you get another day, well, then you're already starting your day off right, I think. And so number one is you're still here. You get another day.
And I think that comes with a responsibility. You know, and I know we're probably going to get to that, but I do think that every day that I'm here comes with a responsibility then to share what I've learned with my son.
Good point.
My son, my daughter, my friends, the people that I come in contact with, you know. And so that's, you know, I used to wonder how, when I was a kid, my granddad always had these great stories, you know, and it was just life lived. His life lived gave him those stories. And that's why I'll always take an experience over an item, right? I will take a memory over material, right? You could give me
always
a new car, or you could say, "Hey, do you want to go on a trip? You know, let's go to Italy. Let's go to Greece." I'm going to take that over the car any day, you know, because, you know, that car is going to be a great resource and a tool. And that's all that
I'm on the fence with that one, but I tend to agree with the experience.
Well, I mean, think about it.
Depends on what car it is.
By the time I was 24, you and I had driven all over the United States together. We had played, you know, in cities, in front of people. We had made a lot of new friends. I gained a lot of experience. We did all that out of a crappy van. You know what I mean? It's like the van was the vehicle, literally, that took us, that created these moments, that created these experiences. I'll always have those experiences. That van that we used to drive around in is long gone. I mean, it's probably been, you know, demolished and recycled at this point.
Mm-hmm. It's probably a Dr. Pepper can.
You know, I mean,
you never know.
Yeah. But it's those memories that the life lived gives you. So another day means another memory, another experience.
Yep. And that's number four, but you know, we'll go ahead and skip around. So number four is life experiences.
Yeah.
You know, I always try to tell people, you know, if you ever gone to the movies and sat there and watched a movie and it wasn't good, like you didn't like it. Like, yeah. I didn't like that movie. It was awful. It was terrible. I've wasted 2 hours or 3 hours of my life. Well, you are the director and the producer of your movie, your life.
My movie has a great soundtrack.
But yeah, whether it's good or bad is up to you. It's up to you. And, you know, when you wake up and you've been given another day, that's an opportunity for you to create and mold and direct this, your life. And so the stories that you have and the experiences that you create and the people that you do it with are up to you. And I think most people think that life just happens to them. And I'm telling you, it happens for you. And those life experiences, you're 100% right, man. It's like, you know, we talked about that movie Meet Joe Black when Anthony Hopkins's character is going to die. Now he has all the material things in the whole world. You know, he has family, he's got helicopters, he's got mansions and money. But when it comes time to go, you know, the only thing that's going to give you comfort are happy memories. So as you wake up in the morning, your feet hit the floor. I think if you take stock of the fact that I get another day, which was number one. And then two, you start thinking, okay, this is my life. I can design it. I can make it however I want. Life is happening for me, not to me. What am I going to do with it? Well, you go out and you take the opportunity to make those experiences, to your point.
Well, and you know, one of the things I like to say, I say this often, you know, whether it be sermons or, you know, some of these, you know, public speaking events that I go to, but a phrase that I use often, you know, is while there's breath, there's hope. Right. I think that gives people a lot of comfort. I know it gives me a lot of comfort. Maybe it doesn't give everybody comfort, but it gives me comfort to say that while there's breath, there's hope, that while I'm breathing, there's hope. right? That nothing is ever hopeless. That as long as I've got air in my lungs, there is hope for whatever. So if you're in a tough, if you're in a tough circumstance, hope gets you through. But more than that, I think, you know, that every one of the things that I say often is that every moment that passes by is an opportunity to turn everything around, right? That no matter which direction your life is going, every passing moment is an opportunity to turn it around, right? That every moment that goes past you is one that you can grab onto and go with it. You know what I mean? Let it turn you around and follow it where it goes. If you don't like the direction you're headed, well, here comes another opportunity, right? Every moment, every second that passes by, you can change your mind and you can change the direction of your life. You know, in biblical terms, it's called repentance, right? To repent, it's not necessarily about, you know, it's not always necessarily about, you know, being forgiven for your sins. But the idea is that you're turning away from those things that I don't want to go this direction anymore. So it literally means to turn around. To repent means to turn or to redirect. The beginning of that word re means that you're doing something over, you're doing something else. And so to repent means to turn around. And so everyone has, I mean, how many seconds are in a day? I mean, I'm sure there's a number for that. I don't know what it is, but you know, for every second that
I'll fact check it for you. Don't worry.
But for every second that you've been alive, you've had millions of opportunities to turn your life around, to turn it a different direction. If you don't like where it's headed, you're not stuck. I deny that. When people say, "Oh, I'm stuck," you're not stuck. You might be not moving it. It's like being stuck in traffic, right? Eventually, the traffic is going to move. It's going to break, and you're going to get to go forward, or you're going to get to turn around, or whatever. You know, but we get in these places in life where we feel like we're stuck. You're not stuck. You're just still, right? Yeah. Still means that there's still potential for movement. Stuck means there's no potential for movement. There's no hope in stuck. You're still. And I think that, you know, another phrase that I like a lot is, you know, from the Old Testament book of Isaiah, where it says, "They that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. You know, they shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall walk and not run, and they shall run and not faint." And I love that passage because he's implying there that waiting on the Lord does not mean doing nothing, right? Waiting means working. That I'm not just going to sit here and wait for something to happen. I'm going to make something happen, right? And I'm going to trust that God has got me in that, whatever that is. And so the idea of every passing moment, man, that's another opportunity. Don't let the next one pass you.
And you can break it down granular. It could be each minute, each hour, each day, each week. I mean, those are opportunities for tiny little bitty course corrections. I always use the analogy. It's like turning an aircraft carrier, right? An aircraft carrier is not going to go and turn around and do a 180 like that. It just doesn't happen that way. You have to, there's a lot of force and effort that has to be persistently dealt out in order to turn something like that. And your life is the same way. Now life can change in an instant. But if you're just kind of plodding along like what you and I are talking about, every minute, every hour, every day is an opportunity for you to make those tiny little course corrections.
It's a building block to somewhere else.
Yep. And those are in turn going to make your life experiences and your memories better, which is our second point. You kind of touched on this a little bit more as far as, you know, being able to spend more time with your loved ones. So if you died at 40 and you have kids, well, that's a shame, you know, because the whole reason why you have kids is so you can see them grow up, you can impart your wisdom and your knowledge, and you can be around for all those life events, those life moments. And the longer you are around, the longer you get to enjoy and be around your wife, your family, your kids, your loved ones, your relatives, all that kind of stuff. I talk about my grandfather a lot, and he died when he was 98. That's a long life.
Your granddad saw, you know, the change, right? I mean, he saw the change in the world. He saw
born in 1920. I mean,
yeah, I mean, so
1920 Yeah, there's a everything, the microwave, the cell phone.
Well, I mean, the
air travel, I mean, the space travel.
Automobiles change, space travel, computers, the digital age, the information age. He lived through some of the last 100 years. The world has progressed more than it did in the previous 500 years before.
It's only going to get faster. We're going to see more change in our life than he did in his.
Yeah. You know, I mean, cause I can think back to being a kid and, you know, having a wall phone, right. With the long curly cord on it.
I was talking to somebody about that the other day,
you know, that you had a wall phone and like, you know, you could actually pick up another phone in the house and listen to someone's conversation, you know,
mom, dad.
Yeah. And I remember when call waiting came out and it was, you know, I used to laugh at my mom because she could never figure out how to hit the button and switch the line. You know, she would always end up hanging up on somebody. And I thought that was hilarious. But you know what's funny? I bet you my kids couldn't do it now because they've never seen that. You know, that was something that was unique for you and me and our generation. That was something that was unique for us. Your granddad saw so much, man. So much in his lifetime. So many things changed.
And it was rewarding for him. And I think for me as well, during the later years of his life, as you and I have talked about before, I would go down there and just sit with him and we would talk about stories. He would tell me about a time when he was on a ship going over to Africa in World War II, the guys that were around him. And just imagine what that's got to be like, you know? And, you know, you get more time with those people who have had influence on you in your life with your, you know, we want our parents to live forever. I mean, they're not. I mean, if things go their natural course, you know, we will outlive our parents. And at some point, you know, you're going to wish for selfish reasons that your parents lived to be 150. So they could be here the entire duration of your life, but they're not. But if you're able to live longer, yes, you get older, but what about your kids? So if you're a parent and you have kids, then you living longer, yeah, you're going to get older. Yeah, you're going to have gray hair, but guess what? You're going to get to spend more time with your kids and people that you love. You're going to get to share those kind of stories the same way my granddad did with me and my parents have done with me. That is a beautiful, beautiful thing when you can talk about your life and share those memories that they've created with your kids. So that's one thing that getting older affords you.
Yeah. You know, and I had an experience this year where, you know, my mom got really sick back in July. Spent overall a couple of months in and out of the hospital and or rehab, right? Where it was a couple weeks in the hospital, a couple weeks in rehab, and it was back and forth for a while. And then in, you know, September she came to stay with us while we were trying to figure out what to do. And it was really difficult, man, because you know, you and I have talked about our parents in a previous podcast. We talked about,
go back and listen to it,
choices that they had made that led us. Well, you know, my mom got sick, which that wasn't a choice that she made, but she was so unhealthy. She didn't respond to the sickness very well at all. Right. And it got really scary, really quick, like hallucinations and seeing things and crazy talk and, you know, unable to get herself up and do all this anyway. Little by little, we had physical therapy coming here to the house and working with her. And we had home health care coming and checking her vitals and, you know, managing her meds and all that. And Kelly had gotten her into an appointment with a geriatric doctor so we could kind of hone in more on her meds and what she ought to be doing. And in the meantime, you know, Kelly and I were feeding her healthy food. But dude, now she's back in her apartment. She is as clear as ever. Like, I mean, mentally, she's in probably the best shape she's been in the last 10 years. I mean, physical therapy is about to end, but you know, she's doing, you know, she's exercising, you know, she's doing what she can where she is. She's eating right. She's getting up every day. She's making her bed. She's doing her laundry. She's doing things that she's never done before. You know,
that's great.
And you know how I felt a couple months ago. I was really upset. you know, yeah, and to see her
I was upset with you.
To see her now where she's actually thriving. And I'm saying, I'm saying thriving because she's doing things she didn't do whenever I was growing up. I mean, she's getting up and making her, my mom never made her bed. She's making her bed now. She's getting up, she's making her bed. She's doing her own laundry. She's doing really well. And it's really great, you know, because I get to have her for a little while longer. You know what I mean? Yeah. This gives me hope, you know, that I get to have my mom around for a little while longer, that I'm not going to walk in and find her. That was always my fear, is I was going to walk in her apartment and find her, you know, and now I'm going to, you know, when I know when I go over there now, I'm going to walk in and she's, the last two times I've gone over there, she's been up doing something, you know, when I walked in. Yeah. I was like, dang, mom. I was like, why didn't you do that for me when I was a kid? But I mean, yeah, nonetheless, I'm thankful. I'm thankful for that. You know, it's more life experience that I get with her.
Yeah. And I think that kind of boils down to the last two points, because I want to get to something before we wrap up. And I have a feeling it we may get long winded on it. So let me knock these last couple out. So we've had one, you're still here. The other one is life experiences. And then more time with your loved ones. I think the last two for me is it gives you an opportunity to leave a legacy. And I guess that boils down to, let's take mine and your individual situation. So you have kids and I have a company. Those two vehicles are, and I don't mean to refer to your kids as a vehicle, but it's a way for us to leave something when we're gone. And the longer we're here, the longer life we have, the more we get older, the more of a chance we have to leave a more impactful legacy. You with your kids, me with my businesses. And that's important, man, because, you know, why are we here to begin with? Why would you just want to show up on the earth? No, it's pretty cool here. And then croak, and then that's it. Who wants to leave the world and not have contributed to it in any way? I certainly don't. I want to make as big of an impact as I possibly can. So the opportunity to leave a legacy through your kids, through a foundation, through a business, that is one of the advantages to getting older, because you're here longer, you have more time to work on it, and you have the opportunity to make a bigger impact.
Yeah.
What say you?
Well, no, I legacy is really important to me because, you know, as we've talked about before, the trajectory of my life and where it could have gone has significantly changed. And so, and because of that, the lives of my kids will be significantly different than what they could have been.
It's a generational shift from how you grew up to how your kids grew up.
Right.
The trajectory is completely went off in another direction, direction.
I think about this. I think about the fact that in 100 years, no one's probably going to remember my name. Right. I think about some of the greatest stories in the Bible, right? There was one of the judges named Gideon, in Judges 7. Gideon, his story is kind of loosely what a lot of the story, like the movie 300, sort of based upon. You know, there's a lot of, but Gideon led 300 men into battle and they defeated a million, right? 300 defeated a million. And Gideon's name's remembered, his name's recorded, but not one of the 300 are recorded. Now, they were somebody to somebody, right? Each one of those 300 men were someone's son, probably someone's husband, father, friend, brother. They were somebody to somebody, but their name is not recorded in the Bible. And what they were part of was one of the most critical battles that took place in that time period. Anyway. I'm just saying that to say that I realize, I mean, I know my granddad's name, but I don't know his granddad's name, right? I don't
you
know.
You may not know the name. I mean, you're not going to have a name. Well,
what I'm saying is that it's not even about that. You know what I mean? It's like I've come to grips with the fact that, you know, that my name will long be forgotten by the time my great grandkids come around.
Yeah.
But what won't be forgotten is, hopefully, the direction of their lives, you know, that's the legacy that I get to leave, you know, that it's not important to remember my name, you know, it's all vanity anyway, right? I mean, that's what it all kind of boils down to in the book of Ecclesiastes, is that it's all vanity. You know, for every man, you know, there's a time for every season, and there will be a time to die. And when that happens, you know, I will be in the memories of my kids. I'll probably be in the memories of my grandkids, but I won't be in the memories of their grandkids. And that's okay, because of the direction that their lives have gone instead of the direction they could have gone. And you know, you see generational legacies where, you know, where I live, you see a lot of, you know, bad decisions that beget bad decisions that beget bad decisions. And it just continues, right? You see it all the time. And, you know, we joke a lot about what people watching and that sort of thing. And, you know, and maybe that's not really funny, but the truth is that, you know, you see it all the time. You see a legacy of bad decisions that are just handed down and handed down and handed down, you know, and leaving a legacy of change, I think is probably that's really important to me. And, yeah. And as long as I live, I get to continue to build that. You know, that nobody's going to remember me, but the effects of me hopefully will live on.
It's the same with me. Now, I want to, there again, this is another podcast, but I the goal of me trying to have a company of any sort of size is so that I can start a foundation, so that foundation can serve people and help people like people have helped and served me and changed my life long after I'm gone.
Yeah.
That to me is a legacy. I think leaving employees in a better place from whence you found them. Like when somebody comes to work here, I want them to be in a better place because they work here, both financially, both, you know, emotionally, both intellectually, spiritually, whatever you want to call it. I want them to be better because they work here. If I had children, it'd be the same way with them. I want to teach them and lead them and be a good mentor, a good father, all that stuff. And, you know, so whereas, you know, you have that with your kids now, that's kind of how I view my company. They're all my kids,
yeah.
You know, and I want to make sure that if I should die in a week or a month, or if I live to be 120, that when I do go, I can die knowing that I've left an impact. I've left a legacy, whether it be through children, company, foundation, whatever it is. And I hope that long after I'm gone, people will remember my name. If they don't, I won't know. I'll be dead. but I hope that they do. So, and that leads me to the last thing, which I think is something that you and I at our age that we have now, if I can humbly acknowledge this, that we didn't have when we were 20,
right,
or 20 something, and that's wisdom. I've been the beneficiary of a lot of people coming in and out of my life who are very wise individuals. My coach Russ is one of those. My grandfather was one. I've had other mentors that I have in my life now whom I've never met because of this great thing we have called technology, who are wise beyond their years. Well, they're younger than I am. And when they open their mouth, I'm just like, wow. I mean, that guy really, there's a difference between being smart and there's a difference between being wise. You can have people that weren't formally educated that can be very, very wise. And just because they didn't graduate or have an MBA from Harvard doesn't necessarily mean that they're not wise or that you shouldn't listen to them. But you need to find those people in your life that have that wisdom and learn from them. And if you live long enough, as you and I have, if you and I live to be 100, we will be much, much wiser by the time we get to 100 than we are now here in the middle part of our lives. And that's my last point about one of the advantages of getting older is that wisdom. I enjoy when younger people come up to me and ask me for advice. There's a gentleman out in California that sent me a message, said he was thinking about starting his own company. And this could be another podcast because my gears got turning. Ask him my advice. He says, look, man, I followed your content on LinkedIn. I've seen some of your videos. I really appreciate your points of view on things. Do you think you could walk me through this? And I said, wow, I said, why would you ask me that? Well, it's because he thinks I'm wise. And in some regards, I guess I am. So, and the 30-year-old me was not very wise. The 50-year-old me, way more wise. And so I'm glad, you know, I enjoy teaching and mentoring and trying to give back. And at least I'm not the wisest person in the world. There's certainly people who know more things than I do, but it's all relative, right? I mean, there are people who are coming up now. And this goes back to legacy too. The more wisdom I can impart on those that are coming in behind me, is going to not only ensure legacy, but it makes me feel good knowing that I've accumulated some wisdom over my 51 years.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm the same way. I mean, you know, I think about, obviously, I mean, you and I did, we gained a lot of life experience at our early age. We were thrust into a very grown up world when we were kids. I mean, we thought we were grown, but I look back now, man, I mean, you know, whenever we hit the road touring, I mean, I was just 18, you know, and, you know, at 18 years old is when we, a kid can, you know, join the military and go fight for his country. I mean, that's a whole nother podcast really, but think about the experience that those guys gained. And yeah,
when we talked to Landon, I mean, Landon was young when he went into the military and the stuff that he went through, holy mackerel. I'm like, wow.
And so, you know, I feel like there's a category of people that pay attention is really what I'm getting at. You know, gaining wisdom is not something that you, it's not an arbitrary experience. I mean, it's about paying attention to what's happening to you while it's happening to you and learning as you go. I mean, sometimes you can look back in retrospect and go, wow, that was a lesson learned. But a lot of times,
for
me anyway, it was paying attention in those moments and like, what is this teaching me now? You know, because a lot of times it's real time. It's happening real time. And if you have the presence of mind to say, I'm going through this, what is it teaching me about this now? And then go back a year or so and look back at that and go, was I right or wrong? But there's this process of examining and being awareness, I guess, that helps facilitate that. And, you know, I like you said, I do get, I am happy to help anybody that calls me and asks me for help. I get calls from people that they don't go to my church, you know, but they go somewhere else, but they know something about me or my experience. And so they call me, you know, it's where, you know, being a minister is not exclusive to where you serve necessarily, just the congregation where I serve, but the title minister says that I will serve anybody. I'll serve everybody. And so it's a broader spectrum than I ever thought it was going to be. And it's I'm thankful for my life experiences and paying attention and being aware in those moments that there's something to be learned, something to be gained, especially from the hard times. Those were the best lessons sometimes are going to come in. You know, being aware that you're learning something as you're going through something or enduring something.
It's really satisfying, man, to look back on my life and look at all the everything that we just talked about. One, the fact that I get another day. I've had a lot of time with loved ones. We've outlived some of our friends. I'm working on building a legacy. I've had some outstanding life experiences. I mean, enough to that if you made a movie of it, I think people would be pretty entertained by it. And last, my number five was wisdom. I mean, I to see everything that I've done in my life come back around full circle and that equate into wisdom. That's very satisfying. And yeah, I hope and I pray that as my life goes on, however long that may be, that I gain more wisdom so that I can help more people. But last thing, because we got to wrap it up, I got a flight to catch. And I'm going to leave this because this is going to kind of be a cliffhanger and I want this to kind of to spill over into the next episode. And that is, I'm going to ask you a question. and I already know what you're going to say, but my answer is going to be different than yours. We'll throw this out there, and then we'll use that as a hook for next week's. Are you afraid to die?
Me?
Yes.
No, absolutely not.
See, I am. I'm horrified of it.
Well, then that's something we didn't.
And that's been the Real Deal Podcast. No, I mean, I think it kind of pertains to this topic about getting older. I know some people are at peace with, hey, well, it's my time. They'll be fine with it. That is until the Reaper goes, who is it? It's Grim Reaper. You're like, I was just kidding. You know, there's a lot of ways to look at it. And I think we can save that for another episode. But for this episode, look, guys, getting older is not the end of the world. There's a lot of good in it. And hopefully we've covered some of those great, great points today.
Yeah, listen, let your gray hair.
We can talk about the end later.
Let your gray hair be your natural highlights. I mean, every gray hair I got, whether it's on my head or in my beard, there's a memory attached. Yeah, well, who knows?
Do the carpets match the drapes?
I don't have carpets.
That's another podcast as well.
I don't have carpets. I got hardwood floors.
I don't need to hear that.
No, but every gray hair I got has a memory attached to it. Some of them have names, right? And I'm thankful for each one of them. And so everyone that I've got means that I've made it another day. And I can be grateful for all that. And for all those that we've lost over the last, you know, several years, but especially over the last 12 months. I mean, some really good folks that you and I were close to. It does cause introspection, man. And I'm thankful to grow old. I'm thankful that I
get the gift.
Opportunity. That's right.
Growing old is an absolute gift. And as long as I have a really good pilot today, I'll get older tomorrow.
That's right. Well, thanks so much, everybody. This has been the Real Deal Podcast. We hope you find this valuable. As always, like it, share it, spread it around.
Spread it around like peanut butter. We'll be grateful. Thank you.
All right. See y'all next time.
See ya. Something's gonna turn around.